You are listening to a podcast from The National.
It's been 2 weeks since we last savoured the Premier League, but with World Cup qualifying now complete and no international break until mid-March, it's time to bed in for a long stretch of club football. To reward us for our patience during this international break, the Premier League has gifted us a weekend kicking off with a derby in the capital, as third place Tottenham travel to face fierce rivals Arsenal. Has the power well and truly shifted in North London? This weekend we'll also see the return of David Moyes, who takes charge of his first game on Sunday when West Ham United head to Watford. An appointment that has been widely ridiculed given his struggles at Manchester United and Sunderland, but is it quite as bad as it seems? Joining me to discuss the North London derby, David Moyes, and to offer his predictions for this weekend's Premier League action is sports editor Graham Cagle. Graham, how are you doing today, mate?
Very good, just glad to have the Premier League back.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm your host, John Turner, and you're listening to the Extra Time podcast. So, Graham, weekend kicks off at Emirates Stadium, 4:30 p.m. UAE time. Arsenal take on Tottenham. For a long time, I mean, this was very fancied sort of Arsenal result here, but things have certainly changed in recent years. How do you kind of see this going, you know, at least in the build-up to things?
It's quite interesting. On the website we've had over the last few days, some comment pieces from David Ginola, who Andy Mitten spoke to in Portugal last week, and we've got a piece that's gone up online on Thursday in which he's talking about how much bigger and stronger he feels Tottenham have become since he played there between 97 and 2000. And I think he hits the nail on the head completely, and sort of like there has been a huge, almost changing the guard. It's almost like Arsene Wenger was a trendsetter when he came to Arsenal in 96, and I do wonder a few years from now we'll look at what Pochettino's done at Spurs as being sort of something similar. In terms of, he's completely changed the culture of the side. You know, they've improved. They've had a couple of down into the Champions League and the Harry Redknapp, but you always felt there was like punching above their weight. But right now, I think you have to say they're the favourites going into the game of Arsenal, because they've got the stronger 11. They've probably got the better forward line. They've certainly got the better defence, and they've probably got the better goalkeeper as well. Midfield might be close again, but I think Spurs are stronger in every section.
On that, if you were going to do like a combined 11, which Arsenal players would you choose then if you're saying that the Tottenham side is better? I mean, you'd find some space for Alexis Sanchez in there, would you?
You'd have to, but it's the interesting scenario, where exactly does he fit in that Tottenham forward line? Because you're not taking out Harry Kane, obviously. You're not taking out Dele Alli. Christian Eriksen's certainly not getting dropped. It kind of depends on the formation he'd played. Like, I'm pretty sure if you told Pochettino tomorrow you've got Alexis Sanchez, he'd make it work. But he would be the one that jumps out immediately. And Laurent Koscielny maybe in defence, possibly. But again, it's difficult because Tottenham's defence is so good. Because the other point Ginola made is what gets overlooked is, like, obviously Harry Kane sticking at the goal was a problem, but Spurs' defence is excellent. It's been one of the key areas that sort of kept them up there for the last two or three seasons, because they don't always win every game 4 or 5 nil. They'll go through little periods when Dele Alli and Eriksen are unplayable in midfield, but there'll be lots of games where it is a 1-0 or a 2-0 and something like that. Like, even if the Crystal Palace game we looked at the other week, they weren't at their best in that game, but at the very worst, they were just going to get a draw from that game. But they managed to steal a winner. So it's a kind of hard one to see who fits into the Arsenal side, because what good players they have got, you think Tottenham have got at least as good, if not better.
I'll get your specific prediction later in the show, Graham, but how do you see this game going? Do you see it being expansive? Do you see it a bit more of a cagey affair? I mean, both teams like to play, you know, front foot, forward pressing kind of football, but often these big games aren't as expansive and aren't as attacking as perhaps we kind of hope.
It'll be interesting to see if Arsene Wenger pays attention to how Manchester United played against them, in terms of trying to keep it sort of relatively tight. Sort of, Jose Mourinho would, I think, obviously sometimes gets criticism for United almost as a cliche goes parking the bus, but against Tottenham, it was almost a show of respect to Pochettino. They did keep it a little bit tighter. They did keep it a bit more rigid. And work on the midfield. But I don't know if that would suit Arsenal to play that kind of way. And that's a dangerous element, is whether they go and try and fight fire or not. But I think it will be an expansive game, because I think it's naturally in both sides' makeup. And I don't think Arsenal can do it, because they certainly tried to do it against Man City and it didn't work. And obviously, I don't think Tottenham are quite at Man City's level. But I think if they try and be too negative against Spurs and try and block them out, it'll only hurt themselves as well.
Do you think there's an argument, though, that, I mean, for as good as Tottenham look and as much stronger their 11 perhaps looks on paper, This is far from a gimme. You know, this is Tottenham going to Arsenal, and they have struggled against the big teams this season. I mean, they perhaps, you know, enjoyed the lion's share of possession against Chelsea, but I mean, they're perhaps a bit unfortunate defeat, but they still lost the game. Lost at Manchester United. So what, you know, I mean, it'd be foolish to kind of write Arsenal off completely, wouldn't it?
Oh no, completely. It's like, in fairness, normally Arsene Wenger and particularly Arsenal have normally sort of raised their game, because even though Tottenham have been superior to them over the last two seasons, they drew both games at the Emirates. And Arsenal will raise their game. It'll be a hell of an atmosphere at the Emirates Stadium. So it's reluctant to write off Arsenal. And they still have got some excellent players. And like, Tottenham will have to be wary of, obviously, Sanchez, it goes without saying, and Lacazette as well going forward. But it's an interesting one, because as you say, sort of like the Manchester United game, I don't think they didn't deserve to lose the game. I think they were the better side in the first half, and it almost felt like they were sort of struggling a little bit, just sort of missing sort of just a little bit of confidence almost. I mean, I think that's almost the last thing that's missing from them, is just a little bit more belief, and possibly hopefully beating Real Madrid might have given them that little bit more oomph sort of and belief going into this match. But it'd be interesting to see sort of how they really come out at Arsenal in that regard.
And of course, they've got their star midfielders coming off the back of an international break that he scored a hat-trick in and led his country to the World Cup. I mean, Eriksen will arrive into this game buzzing as well, and of course for those reasons Tottenham fans can be pretty confident as well.
No, absolutely. I know it's something that Steve Luckings has pointed out before, both in the office and on the podcast, is that while Dele Alli and Harry Kane get a lot of the plaudits, Christian Eriksen's been more important than Dele this season in terms of stuff. And obviously, it was a hell of a performance. You know, and to be the guiding force to take your side to a World Cup, especially when they were losing early on against Ireland, it's a fantastic moment for him. And he'll be absolutely buzzing for this game in terms of confidence. And I wouldn't be surprised if he sticks a free kick in the top corner.
So from the North London derby, as I said, we'll get your prediction a bit later, Graham, but the other kind of big talking point heading into this weekend's fixtures is, of course, the return of David Moyes to Premier League management. He's taken over from Slaven Bilic at West Ham United. They head to Watford on Sunday. Now, there's been a lot of reaction to Moyes taking over at West Ham, you know, various memes coming out, kind of ridiculing him. We were talking about this a couple of days ago, Graham, and you think perhaps some of this criticism and ridicule is a little bit over the top, a bit far-fetched. Can you give us your sort of rationale and your reasoning for why you think this Moyes appointment isn't quite as disastrous as lots of people might think?
I think, like a lot of people, this is definitely, and I'm sure the other Premier League owners will be looking at this as well, this is probably last chance saloon for David Moyes in terms of like a top high-profile job if it goes really badly wrong here. But I think, obviously, he deserves still a lot of credit. I think there's still a lot of credit in the sort of tank for what he did at Everton, because we've seen subsequently that, obviously, people can get Everton up to 7th or 8th and match what he did, but trying to sustain it is proved very difficult, proved beyond Roberto Martinez and now Ronald Koeman as well. So it's not an easy job, sort of keeping a side like Everton up and doing as well as he has done in that period. So I think he still deserves credit for that. I think Manchester United, yeah, there are things he could have done better, but I think there's still a lot that it was a bit of a hospital pass. Sort of, he arrived with Ferguson leaving, Rooney unsettled, so he had to spend a lot of time in that. But then a lot of key players who've been involved to Ferguson's last title were in. Van Persie went back to getting injured a lot. Ferdinand and Vidic fell off the cliff in terms of performance level and such. So I think he was a little bit unfortunate in what he inherited at Manchester United. I think whoever replaced Ferguson was going to have a hard time, and he was unfortunate in that element. And then, let's be honest, sort of like focusing particularly on England rather than his quick stint in Spain, like Sunderland, if you look at it, someone was going to take Sunderland down eventually. They were dodging bullets left, right and centre. Like, I'm still amazed Paolo Di Canio did it. Like, quite frankly, I'm astonished by that one. But because Poyet kept him up, Dick Advocaat kept him up, there'd been, you know, sort of a few scares beforehand. And if you keep dodging bullets, eventually you're going to get hit. And obviously, I think what didn't help Moyes was the fact that he pretty much rode into the stadium like waving a white flag and pretty much saying, yeah, we're in a relegation fight in August. Probably not exactly the sort of fighting talk that fans want to say. And it'll be fascinating to see what he kind of comes out with ahead of the Watford game when he speaks to the media, sort of whether it is like he's a little bit more enthusiastic about the challenges. And so certainly West Ham fans don't want to hear relegation fight this early in the season. I know they're 18th, but we're only, you know, in 11 games in the season. He should be thinking more about mid-table and possibly trying to challenge for the FA Cup.
Well, sorry, but that's it. They're only one point away from safety, aren't they? You know, one win and they could be jumping up a few places and things might look a lot less cloudy almost immediately.
No, absolutely. So I think it is a case he's got to come in positive. West Ham have got a history, maybe made up a lot by their own fans and stuff, or playing exciting football and sort of being fun to watch. And they've kind of felt like they've lost that a little bit under Bilic. Sort of, like, Bilic had a great first season, almost like the people that have replaced Moyes at Everton. Sort of like Sam Allardyce did a good job of getting West Ham back on track after being relegated. And then fans got bored of that kind of football. And so in Bilic had a great first season, but it proved very hard to sort of replicate. And so I think for him, his point of view, it is just about sort of sorting out particularly the defence that's been leaking a lot of goals and just trying to get some confidence back in that side. So that's the one thing I think he has to change from something. He has to go in there a bit more belief, get the players bouncing and sort of get a bit of confidence side. And obviously going to a side you've lost three times in a row in the last three games isn't probably the worst opponents to get for your first match in Watford.
I think that's it. You mentioned that, Greg, about Moyes. He can't go in there with that defeatist attitude that he almost had quite quickly at Manchester United when he said that United should aspire to be what City are like now. And that obviously doesn't sit very well with United fans. And then, of course, as you said, walking straight into Sunderland and saying we're in a relegation fight before a ball's even kicked. So with West Ham, he's got to go in there with a lot more confidence, even if some of it is, you know, painting on a bit of a kind of false bravado, even if it's just a start with. Surely he has to take this on a bit more head on. He can't go in there with kind of slumped shoulders and think that, you know, facing up to the facts of a relegation fight is going to help him in any way.
No, absolutely, because football's changed a hell of a lot since when he was in his early days at Everton, because we've got social media now. Every comment that he says is analysed and read and responded to on Twitter by fans. Everyone's looking for something. Like, West Ham fans are desperate for a bit of optimism too, and they will jump on anything they get. So even if he doesn't believe it, even if he thinks, oh, what have I done here after the first training session, he's got to wear this. It's like a public, it's like almost like a general election, sort of a cabinet minister or so having to sort of front a policy they don't agree with. You just got to sort of make people believe in yourself and, like, you know, really sort of like just get out there and sort of, I know it's natural, not his demeanour, but to smile and just really sort of be a bit more energetic on the touchline. Because so many times last season when we were sort of putting pages together in print edition, the most commonly used picture we see was Moyes looking miserable, sat down, slouched over, with sort of empty seats behind him at the stadium or light. And that could easily happen again at West Ham, because it is all about momentum and stuff. And as you said, it's only one point right now, and he shouldn't be using the R word at all. But we are now coming up to the period we're quite excited to, when it's pretty much non-stop Premier League until middle of February, March kind of time, with the FA Cup interfering slightly. But, you know, this is a time when the season's really decided where the narratives are going. Are you going to challenge for the title? Are you going for top six? Are you going to be mid-table, comfortable mid-table? Are you going to struggle? Are you going to be relegated? You kind of find this out now over the next month or so, particularly by New Year. So it's an important period for him. He's got to hit the ground running.
What's your hunch? Do you think he'll do all right?
I think he'll do all right in terms of, I think there's teams around him who probably got more to worry about than him. And I got a feeling, like last season, I don't think you necessarily have to be that good to stay up in the Premier League this season.
Interesting stuff. We'll see how that unfolds when they finish rock bottom. Anyway, let's move on to the predictions for this week, Graham. Obviously, we kind of covered for most of the show Arsenal Tottenham. How do you see this game going? Have you got a score for us?
Having made a gigantic case for Tottenham winning the game, I think I'm duty-bound to go with this. It's been 1-1 for the last couple of seasons, but I think Spurs have just got a little bit more belief and confidence themselves. So I'm going 2-1 Tottenham.
Interesting. Next game on the fixture list, Bournemouth host Huddersfield Town. How do you see this one going?
I am still a little bit worried about Bournemouth in terms of the confidence, and it does feel like maybe the Premier League's worked them out a little bit. But winning at Newcastle, especially the way they did at the last minute, might kick them on. And Huddersfield, again, on another side, who they're getting some good results, but they don't score that many. So I can see Bournemouth nicking this 1-0.
Burnley, Swansea City.
Again, sort of, this is like a big game for Swansea, who haven't played that badly, but haven't been getting the results. And fair play to Sean Dyche for what he's done at Burnley, particularly working their way form. But they've probably been the surprise package of the season so far, in that we knew they were good at home last season. He's really sort of worked them away from home this season well. But I'm again sort of going to stick with the home win scenario in this one. 2-0 Burnley.
Very adventurous, mate. Everton go to Crystal Palace. Still no permanent manager, or at least not since the time of this recording. How do you see this one going?
Everton should have a real bit of encouragement after the way they managed to, with a great deal of assist from Watford, managed to implode themselves, win 3-2 at Goodison in the last game. And sometimes that's what you need to get a bit of confidence going. But I can't get past how bad Everton were in the first hour in that game. And Palace are sort of beginning to feel like they're beginning to get a little bit more organised under Hodgson. They made a real good go against Tottenham. So I'm going to go 1-1.
Leicester City, Manchester City, another convincing City win. Manchester, that is.
If you think, it's funny, this time last season, this was probably one of Pep's lowest moments, was when Leicester actually smacked them just before Christmas, I think it was. So Pep will be quite keen on still getting a bit of revenge, and just at the moment, the form City are in, where they were in before the break, it's very difficult to see anyone, particularly someone like Leicester, getting anywhere near them. So I'd have to say 4-0.
Good stuff. Liverpool host Southampton.
Liverpool, these are the kind of games that have been the banana skins for Liverpool so far this season. If you look at sort of like when they've had to sort of teams have come and you had to break them down, they've sometimes struggled in this game. But I think they should have too much for the Southampton side, which is a pity that a couple of seasons ago they were fantastic to watch and a lot of fun. But it does feel like they're beginning to sort of step back a little bit. And I think Liverpool, particularly with Mohamed Salah in such great form, should have too much for them. So 2-1.
West Bromwich Albion host champions Chelsea.
It's one of those games at the start of the season, everyone looks at West Brom away at Hawthorns and goes, ooh. And so it always looks like a tricky game just because of how well Tony Pulis set up. But West Brom are in a horrible run of form right now. And Pulis is under major pressure. Like Richard Jolly this week has been looking at sort of how the problems he's got building. And it's like the worrying signs. Like I've been quite critical of Jose Mourinho for talking about the fans. And Pulis has been having a go at West Brom fans for having too much expectation, which always feels like the start of a divorce proceedings. Like the moment you're starting to have a pot shot at your own fans, I hate to say it, they are the punters of the club. And yeah, maybe they are a little bit too used to expectation. And like, there's always a danger that someone might become the new Charlton Athletic, get bored of top 10 finishes in the Premier League or mid-table and try and make a change and then flop. But the problem with Pulis aside, traditionally it's been seen as a rather negative and sort of dull, but particularly at Stoke City, they were running out of steam. But they played some good stuff so far. And they've been unlucky not to win a couple of games, but I don't think Chelsea's going to be where it comes back, because Chelsea won the title there last year, and Conte's got problems clearly behind the scenes there, but he's still got the players behind him. There's been no doubt in some of the performances, so this might not be an easy one, but I can see Chelsea probably rattling this out 3-1.
Manchester United take on Newcastle United.
Now, this is going to be an interesting one in terms of Rafa Benitez has done a great job sort of getting Newcastle settled back in the Premier League. They're looking very comfortable already. But it's largely been back on the great rear guard. They haven't really done much in terms of goals. So I can see them sitting back and sort of Rafa settling for the almost parking the bus, which will delight Jose, no doubt. So I wouldn't. This is going to be the one I'm just going to go put my neck on the line, is that United, they're looking a little bit low in confidence. And so I'm going to go 0-0 on this one.
Interesting. Here we are. That's one that's piqued the interest. Watford, West Ham United. Now, try and be as neutral as possible on this one.
Well, it's an interesting one in terms of you've got a side who have been playing some quite good football, but have lost three in a row, up against a side with a new manager. And I'm going to try and tempt fate here a little bit by the fact that it's like, on the one hand, Watford have been playing some quite good stuff, but they have struggled at home. The only game they've won so far was Arsenal. But they're up against new manager syndrome, which is always a powerful creature. So I'm going West Ham 2-1.
Bit of reverse psychology, hopefully, there for you, mate.
In theory, yeah. Yeah.
And then the final game on Monday night, Brighton and Hove Albion host Stoke City.
Yeah, the Premier League giving us a nice thriller on Monday. I think this is obviously essentially because of all the Champions League games in there, but it's a nice bit of exposure because don't wish it to sound like too dour on Brighton, because I think Chris Hughton's done a sensational job of them, sort of in terms of what he inherited in the Championship and how he's moved them forward. And it's been the home form that's been where their strength, but Stoke City are building up a little bit of confidence now after a rocky period. But just given Brighton's home record, I think 1-0 Brighton.
And bonus question, who's your fantasy captain this week?
I've been burnt by continually, every time I've had Harry Kane as captain, he's done nothing. And then every time I've taken him out, he's gone absolutely nuts on someone. Psychology screams that I should take him out and bring Lukaku back in for United Newcastle. But no, I'm going to keep Harry in. So when Harry scores a blank, I'm sorry to everyone.
That's fine by me. Thanks very much for your time this week, Graham.
No worries, thank you.
Well, that's all we have time for this week. You can find the Extra Time podcast on Apple Podcasts and thenational.ae. Thanks for listening.